Hi, this is What You Say in English, Season 3, Episode 25.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Episode 25 of What You Say in English, the podcast in which I listen to you and give you my professional feedback. Today is going to be, as I always say, you know that for me, all episodes are special, but this one is loaded with things. First of all, I have a message from Francesco, and he was one of my guests in, I think it was a year and a half ago. Actually, he sent me a wonderful message that I will play for everyone. He has made lots of progress in his English skills, and I'm very happy because it's a long message. It's like more than 3 minutes. I will play it integral, like I will not cut anything. And of course, I will tell you how great his English skills have become and a few things that he definitely needs to improve, but it's nothing serious. I think the message is just wonderful. I loved it, and I asked him if I could share it with everyone, and he gladly accepted. I think this is the kind of attitude that people need to have when it comes to English, because learning a language is a process, and you have to go little by little, and I'm just happy that Francesco agreed to do this. Thank you, Francesco. I know that you're having a wonderful time with your family. Now, today, you know that I'm recording the episode days before. I need to record it days before I release it for everybody to listen to. But today is Sunday, the day that the episode comes out. Today is April 23rd. And what's special about this day is that it is the International English Language Day. And it's usually celebrated on April 23rd every year. This day is specifically dedicated to creating awareness about the history of the language, as well as boosting proficiency for speakers all around the world, along with Arabic, Chinese, French, Russian, and Spanish, of course. The United Nations created this holiday to promote cultural diversity and multilingualism, so that's why I have a special treat for you today. A wide range of activities like book reading, film viewing, and quizzes are hosted by different organizations around the world to celebrate this day. And I am no exception. I'm going to read a story that I wrote when I was a teenager. Yes, I've done quite a few things. I wrote this story as a reflection of me. It's not my story. And the character in the story, trust me, it's a short story. I'm going to read it for you today. And the character is just loosely based on my experience with language. And of course, the events do not resemble anything. I just imagined the story. I wanted to make it as different as possible, but close enough so people who know me would know that I was, of course, related. So there was something in that character that would represent me. But I wanted to make it as generic as possible, so that other people would identify themselves with the character in the story. His name is Alejandro, by the way. And whether you're a student or an adult, this day is meant to educate people of all ages about the beauty, complexity, and most of all, the universality of the language. But I will leave that for the next segment. Now I want to play the message that Francesco sent me. Listen.
Hello, Frank. Good morning. Buenos dias. Buongiorno. ¿Cómo estás? How are you? I don't know if you remember of me. I'm Francesco from Italy, and I've been living in Kuala Lumpur since last August. And you made me an interview, I don't remember, probably 1 year and a half ago, when I was in the beginning, in the middle of my learning process path. I'm okay, and my family is very happy. My kids are happy as well to stay here. They have been improving a lot day by day, and compared with the beginning when we arrived here, it's completely different. So I want to thank you because I always follow you and your suggestion, your podcast on Facebook. And so I try to ameliorate day by day my English. I try to improve my pronunciation, but at the end of the day, I'm Italian. I have my Italian accent. I'm proud of my Italian accent. And if sometimes some words come with my Italian accent, I'm happy too. So I hope you are very well. I hope meet you. I don't know who knows in Spain, in Italy. I don't know, but I hope to meet you because I want to thank you in person of the passion you put in your job. You are very, I think, I don't know if I can say passionate person. And so I'm very happy to have known you. I wish you a wonderful day and I hope you can give me an answer. And I hope to meet you. I hope that my next experience will be in Madrid. And in that moment, in 3 or 4 years, I come to Madrid, I immediately call you. I immediately call you because, as I told you, it's my honor to meet you in person. Okay, now I send you a hug from Malaysia and see you soon.
Wow, that was a fantastic message, Francesco. Thank you very much. Very nice words. And I'm so happy that you're living now in Malaysia. I have friends who have been living in Malaysia. I think they're now living in other countries, but because of work, they had to live in Malaysia. And they told me wonderful things about the country. And I hope you're just having the same wonderful time. And I'm happy to hear that your kids are doing well, that they're adapting, they're improving. It's very important that your children are exposed to so many varieties of people and dialects and languages. That will help them cognitively. It has so many advantages. Your children will be citizens of the world. I'm sure they will be. And now, in terms of your message, of course, I loved it. And you have incredible words. You use words like ameliorate. Who uses that? Of course, only incredibly clever people like yourself. If you don't know, ameliorate, this is for the listeners, is to make better. Ameliorate. And of course, that's a fantastic word. Ameliorate is a very academic word, and we use it to express that when we say something is better. And I'm also very happy to hear that you're very proud of your Italian accent. This is the whole thing. People love accents. I love listening to accents. And it's always great, for example, when people strike a balance between their own identity, their own accent, and speaking standard English. So in that case, for example, Francesco, I think you still have to be a little careful with the H's. Sometimes you pronounce it perfectly, like when you say you're happy, your family's happy, you make the aspiration. But in other occasions, for example, you forget to pronounce the H, or you pronounce it when you should not pronounce the H. So listen to these two cases.
Probably 1.5 years ago, I told you it's my honor to meet you in person.
In the first case, of course, you forgot to pronounce the H in have. 1.5 years. Of course, you have to make the aspiration. And in the second one, you pronounced honor with a sounding H. You said honor. And in those cases, I think the first case is not really much of a problem. I think it would be still understandable. And it would be like that cute accent, Italian accent that a lot of people have. And Americans in general would be very permissive and they will still understand you. But in the second one, you would probably confuse people, honor. And there are words, other words like hone, it's H-O-N-E. It means to perfect or to make something better. It would be a little bit confusing, depending on the person, depending on the country, but I would say that it's a little bit confusing. But apart from that, the H's, that it's understandable and it's common. It's a process that you have to still control. Remember that your brain needs to adapt to that. And as much as you practice, it will become better. I would say that your message was cleverly organized. I don't know if you prepared it. If you did, good, because you have to be ready for those challenges. But if you did not prepare it, I think it came out really natural. And for that, Francesco, amazing job. Keep doing it, because this is what I tell my students to do. You need to prepare until a time comes when you don't have to prepare. And keep feeling proud of your accent. It's your identity as an English speaker, as an Italian who speaks English. And I'm sure that you will have no problems with communication with other people. I think it's fantastic. You're doing a great job. And thank you very much. And I hope, I really hope, by the way, the way you said hope, you have to make sure that you pronounce the diphthong, O, hope, because if you say hop, it sounds like another word in English. It's like jumping, rabbit, hop, okay? But thank you. But going back to the message, thank you very much. Very sweet of you. And of course, if I'm ever visiting Italy or you're coming to Madrid, we need to get together. I need to get to know your wife, your kids, and I'm going to take you all to a tour around Madrid and the wonderful places that I love about Madrid. Thank you very much, Francesco. As I said in the beginning, today we're celebrating International English Language Day. And I would like to talk to you about the origins of the day. And it goes back, I think it started when three Germanic tribes invaded Britain. Of course, I'm not going that far. But to make the long story short, when the Germanic tribes, and this is a little bit of the origin of the English language, when there were three Germanic tribes that invaded Britain during the 5th century. And these were the Angles, the Saxons, and the Jutes. And they crossed the North Sea from what is known as modern Denmark today, Denmark, and North Germany today. And upon their arrival, most people from Britain spoke the Celtic language. These invaders pushed them aside completely, forcing them to migrate to the west and north, which is now known as Wales, Ireland, and Scotland. And that's why those people have such a different accent, because it is incredible, but the Celtic language and the old languages that were spoken by those people still persists today in many words, expressions, and even the pronunciation. But later, from the years 450 to the Middle Ages, basically 1100, the Germanic tribes developed the Old English language, which is the archaic version of the English that it's universally spoken today. The death, the demise of the Old English was seen in 1100 with William the Conqueror, the Duke of Normandy. He invaded England, which started the country's linguistic division. Later on, the lower class spoke English, of course, and the upper class spoke French. Of course, not the modern French that we have today, but the what we call the Old Norman or the Old French. This division evolved into a melting pot of language that we called Middle English. Old English added with French words, basically, and quite a few changes in pronunciation, which eventually became Britain's dominant language in the 14th century. The rise of modern English happened at the beginning of the 16th century, when the language had a distinct shift in pronunciation. This shift is called the Great Vowel Shift. It sounds like a single process, but it's actually a very complicated process that happened in the course of 400 years. The vowels, and we call it a vowel shift because the vowels in the English language were produced shorter and shorter. Printing of texts and books started in this era, which standardized modern English as a staple in Britain. In 1604, the first English language dictionary was published. The main difference between today's English language and the 16th century modern English is vocabulary. Two factors contributed to this: the Industrial Revolution and the global British Empire. The Industrial Revolution called for the need to use more words. On the other hand, this was also the height of the British Empire's colony, which covered a quarter of the world's territories, forcing them to inevitably adopt foreign words in their vocabulary. Nowadays, English is the only language. I think that's what makes it special, because it's a melting pot. It's where a lot of languages come together. At its core, English is a Germanic language, and grammatically speaking, it's a Germanic language. I know that there are many words that come from Greek, Latin, Italian, Spanish, and French, and there's a lot of vocabulary that comes from those languages, but at its core, English is still a Germanic language. Of course, it's different like no other, but that's what makes it special. So with that said, I want to go on now and read the story that I wrote. Now, let me give you a little bit of background about this story. And I'm going to read the prologue that I wrote recently. I actually wrote it. The story itself, I wrote it when I was a teenager, but I wrote the prologue quite recently because I wanted to retake it and I wanted to clarify a few points about the story. The name is Blend of Two Worlds, and you will discover why in a bit when I start reading the story. And the prologue that I wrote goes like this. Before diving into the short story of Alejandro, I would like to share my intentions behind this heartwarming tale. As a writer, I'm inspired by my own experiences and the world around me. In this story, I wanted to explore the struggles and beauty of growing up bilingual and navigating two different cultures simultaneously. My aim was to not only create a rich, captivating narrative, but also to convey a valuable lesson about embracing our differences and the importance of staying true to our roots. Although Alejandro's character and experiences might resonate with many bilingual individuals, including myself, it is essential to clarify that he's not a direct representation of me or my personal story. Rather, Alejandro is an afterthought, an embodiment of the emotions and challenges I once faced as a bilingual child growing up in a predominantly monolingual community. Through his journey, I hope to evoke a sense of understanding and empathy in readers, regardless of their cultural and linguistic background. The story that unfolds is a testament to the resilience of the human spirit and the power of embracing one's unique identity. It is my sincere hope that as you read the tale of Alejandro, you find inspiration in his journey and reflect upon the beauty that lies in the blending of contrasting elements. With this, I invite you to immerse yourself in the world of Alejandro, a young boy who discovers the importance of honoring both his English and Spanish speaking cultures and the powerful lessons that life has to offer. And that was the prologue that I wrote for this story. It's a sort of a clarification, making sure that people got my point just like that, as just a representation, a kind of general story. It's a very short story, by the way. And I wrote it at a moment in which I thought I needed to express how I felt about the two languages and the lessons that I had learned along the way. So here it goes. Once upon a time, nestled between the warm embrace of verdant hills and the gentle kiss of the ocean's breeze, there was a small town named Brookfield. In this quaint, picturesque town lived a bright and spirited 10-year-old boy named Alejandro. With eyes as wide as the horizon and a smile as warm as the sun, he was a treasure to his family and his community. Alejandro had a unique gift. He was bilingual in both English and Spanish. Thanks to his Spanish-speaking family and the English-speaking world he was growing up in, Alejandro's parents, Don Jose and Doña Isabella, had emigrated from their native country to pursue a better life. They held on to their traditions and customs with great love and pride, imparting them to their children. Yet they understood the importance of adapting to their new environment and encouraged their children to learn and appreciate the English language. Each day, Alejandro found himself straddling two different worlds, In one, he was the son of Don Jose and Doña Isabella, who filled their home with their music of their language and the scent of their savory cuisine. And the other, he was Alex, the English-speaking boy who attended school, played with his friends, and read the latest comic books. Despite his parents' encouragement, Alejandro felt reluctant to speak English outside of his home. He believed that using the language would make him appear foreign, and he desperately wanted to fit in with his English-speaking friends. The conflicting emotions weighed heavily on his young heart, leaving him unsure of his place in both worlds. One day after school, Alejandro was walking home when he stumbled upon a small, run-down park. Although it appeared neglected, there was a sense of order to the space, as if someone had been caring for it despite its aged condition. The swings hung lopsided, and the paint of the benches had faded. Yet the ground was free of weeds and leaves. Intrigued, Alejandro decided to make the park his secret sanctuary. He would visit it every day after school, trying to make sense of his conflicting emotions. He would sit on the swings, lost in thought, feeling the wind whispering its secrets to him. As the weeks went by, the park became an extension of Alejandro's soul, mirroring his struggle to find his place. It was one of these visits that Alejandro met a kind elderly man named Mr. Edward Thompson. Mr. Thompson was the park's caretaker, and although the park was in a run-down state, he took great pride in his work. He would often sit on a bench, listening to the birds sing and the laughter of children from the nearby school. While he tended to the park, Mr. Thompson did his best to keep the park clean, but he lacked the means to make significant repairs and improvements. One day, Alejandro confided in Mr. Thompson about his struggle to find his place in the two cultures that shaped him and his reluctance to speak Spanish for fear of looking like a foreigner. The old man smiled and said, "My dear Alejandro, you are like this park, a beautiful blend of two worlds. Just like the park, you might feel a little out of place at times, but that doesn't mean you don't belong. It simply means you're unique." Over time, Alejandro noticed that Mr. Thompson hadn't been to the park lately. Worried about his dear friend, he decided to find out where he lived, as he had never visited Mr. Thompson's home before. When he finally located the house, a neighbor informed Alejandro that Mr. Thompson had passed away recently. The news of Mr. Thompson's death came as a shock to Alejandro, and a wave of grief washed over him. The neighbor handed Alejandro a letter, explaining that Mr. Thompson had written it shortly before his passing, and added that he had always spoken fondly of Alejandro. With a heavy heart, Alejandro took the letter and retreated to his sanctuary, the park, to read its contents. In the letter, Mr. Thompson revealed that he, too, was a son of two worlds. His mother had been a Spanish immigrant, while his father was a native English speaker. However, Mr. Thompson had never embraced his bicultural heritage, choosing instead to assimilate completely into the English-speaking world. He regretted this decision deeply and hoped that Alejandro would learn from his mistakes, embracing both his English and Spanish roots. The letter struck a chord deep within Alejandro's heart. He realized the importance of cherishing both aspects of his identity and vowed to honor Mr. Thompson's memory by embracing his biculturalism. Alejandro began to use Spanish more often in his daily life, sharing his culture with his friends and teaching them Spanish during their lunch breaks. He chose the park as the perfect spot to hold his informal Spanish lessons, and soon his friends eagerly gathered there to learn from him. As the park came to life with a sound of laughter and the hum of learning, the townspeople started to take notice. They saw the once neglected park transforming into a bustling hub of activity, and they realized the value it held for the community. The town mayor decided it was time to restore the park, making it a place where people from different backgrounds could come together and celebrate their shared love for Brookfield. The park was renovated, with the swings mended and the sandbox filled with fresh sand, and vibrant flowers planted throughout. It became a symbol of unity, and it was fittingly renamed Parque de la Unidad, or Unity Park. The once neglected park became a cherished spot for the townspeople. Alejandro would often visit the park, reflecting on his memories of Mr. Thompson, and watching as children laughed and played, and families gathered to enjoy each other's company. The park had found its place, just as Alejandro had found his. As Alejandro grew older, he continued to embrace his dual identity, becoming a proud ambassador for both his Spanish and English-speaking cultures. He went on to become a successful author, writing stories that captured the essence of his bicultural experience and inspiring others to appreciate the beauty in their own unique identities, our differences, whether they are linguistic, cultural, or personal, make us unique and should be celebrated. When we embrace our individuality and share our unique perspectives with others, we can foster understanding, unity, and ultimately make the world a more harmonious place. Just as Alejandro discovered, it is not necessary to choose between two worlds. The most beautiful creations often emerge from the blending of contrasting elements. And by learning from the experiences and regrets of others, we can grow and make better choices for ourselves. So, did you like the story? I hope you did. I feel a little embarrassed to share it with you all. Today is a special day, and I always keep preaching about feeling proud of what you do and who you are, your accent, and everything. I know, it makes sense for me to share this, even though I wrote it many years ago, and probably this story needs a lot of improvement, like many things. And I was reading it, and I was like, oh, I can change this. I can change that, probably. Or to add a little more excitement, more background to the story. But I wanted to leave it as it was, and as the story that I wrote at a moment in my life that, you know, I needed an outlet to let off those emotions that I was having back then. Of course, now I'm closing in my 50s, and of course, life has a different perspective. Life has a different meaning for me. I have come to understand that English is definitely one big part of my life, as well as Spanish. You know, I speak to my family in Spanish most of the time, and at work, and with my classes, and with people around the world, I use English. And for that reason, I would like to share a few things of what makes English so special. You might take it as a kind of fun trivia facts about the English language. And these are the things that really keep me humble, because that's how I feel what English is like. English is a crazy language, and it's so crazy that it's beautiful and unique in its own sense. For example, I can tell you that go is the shortest grammatically correct sentence in English. Why is it a sentence? Because it's in the imperative mode. When you say go, it's like you go. You're ordering someone to go. So it's a grammatically correct sentence in English. Also, in the U.S., there are 24 English dialects registered, like really classified dialects in English. I'm not going to name them. I might probably do an episode in the future. You'll let me know if you want to hear it, but I don't know. I mean, sometimes many of the accents are not really so distinguishable between each other. But yes, so you know that there are 24 English dialects in the U.S. In the U.K., I think it's double. Because you go from one town to the next town, and they have a completely different accent. Also, the word goodbye originated from the Old English phrase, now that we were talking about Old English, God be with you. So it changed into what we say today as goodbye. Also, I said that the oldest English word that we still use today is the word town, of course. The word town in Old English was not pronounced like that because it's with the current pronunciation of that word is a reflection of that great vowel shift that I told you about before in the previous segment. But yes, town is the oldest English word that we still use today. Also, Shakespeare, William Shakespeare, is credited with adding 1,700, that's 1,700 words, to the English language during his lifetime. This is crazy. Also, this is another crazy story about English. There's no correct spelling of the word Hanukkah. I know that the word does not come from, it's not originally English, but the thing is that they're all English transliterations of the Hebrew word. So you will find the word Hanukkah spelled in so many different ways, depending on the region. The word Dord, D-O-R-D, was a word for about 13 years before we figured out it was a mistake. It was submitted as D-O-R-D, intended to refer to the two symbols used to represent density at the time. But someone screwed up, and we got the word Dord in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary from like 1934 to 1947. Of course, nobody used the word, but a lot of people, when they found the word in the dictionary, thought, whoa, what is this word? So Dord is actually D or D, capital D or small case D. Also, there are many words in English that are contronyms. And I think I will do an episode, maybe a TikTok on this. I think it would be interesting to do a TikTok on this. There are words in English which have two meanings, and the two meanings are actually opposites. For example, dust means to remove the dust or to sprinkle dust on a surface. So it could mean to remove or to put, in a sense. There are many other contronyms that I can talk to you about. The word girl, and this is a shocker, the word girl was used to refer to both boys and girls until the 1400s. So think about the time of the King Henry VIII, pretty much around that time. So girl meant boys and girls at the same time. But after the 1400s, it took on its current meaning, referring to the female. And like that, there are many more quirks and crazy things about English, the English language. I hope you found these facts interesting. Also, if you want to get a copy of my story, the one that I read today, I produced it as a nice PDF or ebook that you can read in your ebook reader, and it will be available in a link in my episode description today. But the story will come at a very small price, as a token of appreciation. It will be at 5 euros if you want to make it yours, but I will give you a discount code in which you will get 50% off. So you will end up paying 250 cents. Okay, so check out the episode description. You will have a link, and you will get also the code. You can send it to everybody as a gift, and especially those who are struggling with both languages. And if you feel identified just a little bit with the story, let me know. I would love to hear what you have to say about that. Again, thank you very much for joining me today. Today is a special day. Today is the International Day of the English Language. Once again, thank you very much. And until next week, bye-bye.